It is necessary to evaluate the film that News 24 has brought out, which they call Exodus Uncovering a Cult in KwaZulu-Natal. So how's that for a prejudicial title? They give away exactly what their agenda is right there. Well, KwaSubantu Mission has been under attack. The documentary film Exodus Uncovering a Cult in KwaZulu-Natal is produced by News 24, who claims that this is the result of a seven-month News 24 investigation into accusations of gross human rights violations. And the man who owns News 24, Adrian Basson, has praised his production of this film, saying it's what he's most proud of, and he's used the film to also call for boycotts of Aquila products and of any of the farming products which come from KwaSubantu Mission, and even publishing the names of the suppliers and the distributors that they can be boycotted too. So there seems to be a very heavy agenda. This is beyond journalism. This disturbing film makes extensive use of what they call reenactments, mainly of school children being beaten with plastic pipes and other abuse. And now News 24 has put there that evangelist missionary Peter Hammond has defended the KwaSubantu Mission in the wake of a hard-hitting, that's a nice way of putting it, documentary which he describes as a hostile horror film and part of a smear campaign. Other pastors have also risen to defend the Christian mission against abuse allegations, and there's some excellent videos circulating right now, for example, from Magogo, from Tugela Ferry and Tugela Valley, the people on the ground speaking about what a blessing they've been. And some other people have come to the fore and are speaking up in their experiences. Also, groups at KwaSubantu have pointed out how much they've done to help people during time of shutdown, lockdown, distributing vast amounts of food. The footage used for depicting the South African military were plainly not wearing SADF uniforms, but looked like it came from America. It certainly wasn't South African. So their reenactments weren't even, if they could be that inaccurate on the military, then one wonders how accurate everything else is. Reenactments are actors performing. So that hardly constitutes authentic evidence. But it's like when a person watches a dramatic film and they say, based on a true story or inspired by true events, or this is a true story. But even when they are true stories, they often inject just from inflection of the voice or a look of the eye or a raise of the eyebrow, or even just insert a gut-wrenching scene that's completely and utterly ahistoric. I mean, just take, for example, the Patriot film, which is a generally good film with Mel Gibson, but it's completely ahistoric to have the British troops herding a congregation into a church and burning it down around them. That did not happen in the 18th century. That's complete rubbish. It's slanderous, but it's one of the most gut-wrenching parts of the movie, but it's completely ahistoric fiction. And yet it's that sort of thing that demonizes the enemy, which, of course, is a Hollywood thing. You can't just disagree with the other side. You've got to demonize the other side. In fact, they've said that the goal of a good movie is that you must get the audience to hate the villain. And that's what often happens. They fabricate things and put things in, and people can be so angry about something that didn't even happen. Proverbs 18:17 says, the first one to plead his cause seems right until his neighbor comes and examines him. It's easy to win a soccer game when the other team's not on the field. I mean, you can score all the goals you want if there's no goalie or other team to prevent you scoring goals. And so scoring goals when your team's only one on the field doesn't mean much. Trial by media can be very destructive. The News 24 exclusive documentary, Exodus, has a very small selection. Six. Disgruntled, embittered people who used to be part of the KwaSubantu Mission. And the verse that comes to my mind is Proverbs 25, verse 18. A man who bears false witness against his neighbors like a club, a sword, and a sharp arrow. However, there are many hundreds of people who've had wonderful experiences and who openly testify of what a tremendous blessing KwaSubantu Mission has been for them, and what a privilege it was growing up in that very protected environment. And it's been my privilege to know KwaSubantu Mission for well over 34 years. And during that time, I have every year of those 34 years traveled there multiple times, many times, stayed there for weeks, ministered on every level, gotten to know the people on so many different levels without any restriction on either what I could preach or what I could do or where I could go. And what I've seen is very different from what they're talking about. So as a regular guest speaker, youth conferences, ministers' conferences, parents' conferences, Christians for Truth conferences, I've stayed for weeks at a time, often when there's no conference, at out of season, so to speak, and when there's no guests from outside there, and I've seen them as they normally are. I've got many friends there. And so many good memories, so many great events, so many conferences, and I've repeatedly visited many of the Questive Intermission bases across South Africa, like at Schulzendal, this is up in the Swazi area, just on the border of Swaziland, in what today they call Mpumalanga, and Pelindaba in the Transvaal, where we've, for example, in 2010 had a biblical worldview seminar, and at the Virginia Goldfields in the Orange Free State, and at Magogo, which has got a click in it, and that's Tugela Valley, and wonderful work there, tremendous ministry opportunities. I've been to Questive Mission Base all over Europe multiple times. I've seen the abiding, extraordinarily good fruit of Questive ministry in countries as far afield as Mozambique and Angola. We've seen the documentary of the Doctors for Life work in Mozambique, for example, recently, and what a magnificent work that was. I've seen the abiding good fruit in Belgium and in the Netherlands, in France, in Germany, in Romania, and in Switzerland. And to go to Kwasabantu Mission in Switzerland, you get to this area in Kaltbrunn, and this is the mission base. That's the school area there. This is where all the guest and accommodation courts are, these other members of the mission. So the sports field, and this is their church. They built this shed there as the primary worship center. And they have a Domino Servite school there too, as they have in many of the different mission bases around Europe as well. And it's been my privilege to speak at, for example, the Christians for Truth Europe conference, ministering there in 2013, for example. And they would have people from all over Europe, even Romania, coming there. There is no doubt that Kwasabantu has been the most extraordinarily successful mission station on the continent of Africa. That's not to say it's perfect. No ministry is. But I challenge anyone to name to me a more effective mission base that's done more in education, evangelism, discipleship, or anything else. No one has done more good for the people of KwaZulu than Reverend Erlo Stegen. And that's been attested to by King Goodwill Zwelinthini and Prince Mangosuthu Buthelezi and many others. King Goodwill Zwelinthini publicly described Reverend Erlo Stegen as God's apostle to the Zulus. And he has said, in my hearing, Erlo Stegen speaks the best Zulu in Zululand. He said, I learn my Zulu from Erlo Stegen. Uncle Erlo has the best vocabulary, the widest vocabulary, the best pronunciation. He is the gold standard of Zulu. And that's what the king of the Zulu says. Northwest University, which used to be Potchefstroom University, has acknowledged the extraordinary contribution of Erlo Stegen to education in KwaZulu. I think it was in 2012, perhaps, that they awarded him a special degree for his extraordinary work in education in KwaZulu and upliftment to the people. The mission's a major educator, a major employer, a very positive influence throughout KwaZulu-Natal and across the world. Not that you would know any of that from this extremely biased, hostile horror film produced by News 24. According to this film, KwaZulu-Natal is a mission of fear, horror, rape, abuse, and bondage. Quote, unquote. Exodus 20, verse 16 tells us, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. If you believe this film, then life at KwaZulu-Natal is based on fear, intimidation, and manipulation. According to David Engelbrecht, Erlo Stegen preaches his own brand of religion under the guise of Christianity and his messages from the pit of hell. Proverbs 13, verse 3, he who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. That is not how either I or my wife or my children or scores of our mission co-workers or hundreds of overseas guests and thousands of people who've continued to flock to youth conferences every year. They've averaged 6, 7, sometimes 8,000 coming twice a year to the youth conferences. And the ministers' conferences, I've seen them growing from 600 to 800 to 1,000 to 1,200 to 1,500, 1,800, 2,000. Last ministers' conference that I spoke at last year was 2,500 people from vast amount of countries, as far afield as Russia, Korea. And they keep coming back. Is it because it's a place of fear and intimidation? To many thousands of people throughout South Africa and across the world, Christ's Abundant Mission, under the leadership of Erlo Stegen, has been a place of freedom and deliverance and repentance and restoration and revival, in many cases healing. Spiritual healing, physical healing, mental healing, emotional healing, spiritual healing. Far from Christ's Abundant being a place of bondage, many have expressed what a joy it is to be in a place where you do not live under the daily fears of crime, violence, and abuse that pervades society throughout the rest of South Africa. My children found it just absolute joy to be at Christ's Abundant, where they could run free and go all over the place without needing adult supervision. They didn't need me to walk them to the shop, or they could go anywhere in this massive several hundred hectare farm without fear. And that's extraordinary, especially when you bear in mind that on the mission station, they have got at any time lots of drug addicts and criminals coming there for counseling and for restoration and deliverance and to get out of their addictions. And so it's just extraordinary that you have on the mission station. It's not that everybody there's a saint. Nobody's a saint in a true biblical sense of being sinless. So yet it's freer and safer than walking around Rondebosch, Pinelands, or Seapoint. And it is an oasis. By the way, I've done a few baptisms in this dam here too. And this year is a choir made up entirely of gangsters. At a youth conference that I spoke at a couple of years ago, all these men here were gangsters. One man I spoke to told me how he had killed 24 people, another 48-something people. One man told me that before he was 18, he had hired a hitman to murder his father. Extraordinary amount of criminals amongst this group. This entire choir is made up of ex-gangsters who are now transformed. They've got every kind of choir. It's hard to keep up with all the different choirs, but you can see so many changed lives. According to this News 24 Exodus expose, several incidents of child abuse, sexual abuse, and corruption have occurred in Christ's Abundant over the last 50 years. If that is so, every one of those individuals responsible need to be prosecuted. And those who've concealed or covered up those crimes are also criminally liable. And there's no way that any crime is ever justifiable, ever. It's got to be reported and it's got to be prosecuted. No doubt about it. But as was said by Skalk Viskalki, missions don't rape people, individuals do. You don't prosecute an organization for a crime that an individual committed. But there's no doubt that crime, violence, sexual abuse, rape and murder are daily realities throughout South Africa. Not just spread over 50 years, it's happened in the last 5 days. Not only in our streets, but in our state schools. The abuse going on in state schools is colossal. Our government is looting multiplied billions of rands of taxpayers' money every single year. In fact, according to the African Union Task Group on Corruption, they estimate that it's in the trillions of rands, a full 32% of the gross domestic product South Africa is looted by government corruption every year. So one wonders why this distraction, at a time when the entire country is being abused, the entire country is being victimized, and the entire country is being stolen from by central government. We've just had scenes of police and army beating up people in the streets for something as simple as going to the shops. We've seen such abuse going on, and now we are meant to pretend that the rest of the country is living in peace, freedom, and harmony when we've just experienced the most oppressive type of lockdown imaginable, which you couldn't have imagined under martial law. And the violence, the destruction, the burning, the looting all over this country, that's normal. While just a few people in this mission station, the hills of KwaZulu-Natal, occasionally experience what, in reality, the rest of us have to deal with on a daily basis throughout the country. So honestly, put things into perspective. How many crimes have been committed in our communities in the last 50 years? Quasimodo is several thousand people living there. Knowing the depravity of man, evil things can happen even in a church and even at a mission, and we know that. There is not a mission, congregation, community on the planet that doesn't have some level of crime and corruption. But it's got to be prosecuted and dealt with. The Bible teaches the depravity of man, and that's the reason why it's absolutely essential to have checks and balances. Centralization of power, whether in a church congregation, on a mission base, in a municipality, or in a country, is unhealthy and it's unsafe. And of course, that's what the totalitarian, Marxist, socialist, communist groups want. They want top-down, rule by committee. That's what Soviet means, committee. From the Soviet Union, French Revolution, Bolshevik Revolution, right down to our little committee of six, who rule in this country, consulting the ancestors. All of this is an unacceptable violation of our Constitution. The Bill of Rights should be clear. Freedom of religion, freedom of conscience, freedom of movement, freedom of speech, freedom of opinion, freedom of the press. Freedom is absolutely essential. Centralization is what the Tower of Babel stood for. And in the EU and the AU and the UN, we see modern attempts. In fact, here you can see a conscious attempt in the architecture of the European Union's Parliament to imitate the Tower of Babel as done by Bruegel. And just in case you missed it, this is the EU's own poster advertising it, Europe, many tongues, one voice. And notice how they've even changed the stars to be the inverted pentagram so that it's, you've got like the goat's head with the ears, the horns, and the beard going down. So it's more the occultic way of depicting it. Many tongues, one voice. We're reversing Babel. Fist of resistance and rebellion, God's face. Here's an EU poster from 2012. Notice what's at the very top, the hammer and sickle, above the Islamic crescent and above even the Christian cross. Now, that shows you the mentality. Communism above all. And just if you missed it, they've got a couple of woman riding the beast images where they've actually built around their monuments in Strasbourg and in also in Brussels and in Strasbourg. So they are openly showing how occultic they are. Freedom of speech is good and necessary in a congregational setting. It's even more important on a community and congregational and country level. Hence, government and global media platforms' censorship of what they term politically incorrect options and opinions is not only an abuse of the Bill of Rights, it's a threat to freedom and constitutional law and order on every level. We are being abused by our own government, and all too often censored in our opinions and restricted in our activities, especially under this unconstitutional, unnecessary, and unworkable lockdown. So, even if all the accusations against Quasimodo are true, we're being abused worse than the rest of the country all the time by our own government. Now, we should identify the abusers. I know several of the individuals involved and implicated in this Exodus expose. It's noteworthy that one of the primary people accused of sexual abuse is Muzi Kineni, who told News 24 that he had been sent by the ANC to infiltrate the mission in 1979 to spy on them. Now, Muzi Kineni is accused of sexual abuse and rape at the mission. Well, I can believe it, because he admits later that he was not even a Christian. He was just infiltrating, playing the game. But while he is there, you can go on the website and see the film When Heaven Came Down, and you'll hear the testimony for Muzi Kineni, a whole lot thinner at that stage, before he got on the gravy train, where he says, "I always hated, I hated everyone." And how much hate he had, not just for whites, but for other tribes. He hated his own people. He said, I was full of hate. And I think that might have been the most honest things that he said, because we detected it here and there, even when he was a co-worker at Quasimodo. Well, in 1994, he left Quasimodo mission, joined the government's NIS, National Intelligence Service, which is South Africa's version of CIA. And he was involved in smear campaigns against political opponents. And finally, he was convicted for a brutal murder. He axed somebody to death. And he even shot his own son, but failed to kill him. His son testified of how his father tried to murder him. So Muzi Kineni is a nasty piece of work. And he's one of the primary people accused and one of the primary accusers of KSP. He's currently serving a life sentence at Leeuwkop Correctional Center outside of Johannesburg. Not that you actually know all that from watching News 24. An angry man stirs up strife, and a furious man abounds in transgression. Proverbs 29:22. A major source for many, if not most, of the accusations against Christ Abundance comes from Koos Greef, who claims that he acted as an informant for the security police, spying on KSB and those who came there. Now, I knew Koos Greef well, and he tried to turn me against KSB, and when I didn't, he damned me to hell and cursed me for being a speaker at KSB Ministers Conference and so on. Well, Koos Greef claims that he was recruited while in the military, and military intelligence recruited him to work for the security branch of our police, security police, to spy on KSB. This is now back in the 80s. And now he has been for over 25 years coordinating and mobilizing people around the country, all the dissidents of KSB. And he's obviously been a primary source of when News 24 says they've had a 7-month investigation. I don't think so. I think they've just let Koos Greef and some of his people around him give them their decades of research. And they might have said they've been working on it for 7 months, but it's not their research. I think most of it's Koos Greef's research. You shall not circulate a false report. Do not put your hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. Exodus 23:1. Now, as a missionary to the persecuted churches for over 38 years and traveling in 42 countries, involved in 8 wars and at least 3 revolutions, it's clear to me that this smear campaign against Christ of Intermission is part of a wider psychological warfare operation to discredit and to displace this mission as part of a communist land grab. As you can see, this is prime real estate. And not just that, it's a phenomenally successful mission base with phenomenal, not just farm, but industrial capabilities with a water bottling farm and all the rest of it, some of the best water springs around, as a lot of great buildings. So coming at a time of official ANC EFF policy of expropriation without compensation, it would appear that KSB is being set up as a target for disinformation, discrediting, and displacement. You cannot steal from such a phenomenally successful, well-known, and popular mission worldwide without first character assassinating them. Obviously, the communists would like to see such an effective Christian mission silenced. Their radio station, the biggest community radio station in the country, broadcasting in 4 languages, 24 hours a day from the highest point, Krantskop, is where their broadcast goes, and virtually everyone in KwaZulu can hear it, as far as Swaziland even. It's an amazing voice, Radio Kwezi. And then you've got the school, and you've got the teacher training college, and there's so much else that goes on there. Even more, the forces of hell behind it hate this vibrant Christian community, which has been so mightily used of God for at least 5 decades. At this location, the revival started in 1966, Uncle Erlo's ministry started in 1955, but Christ's Abundance at this location has been there since 1970. So 50 years at this location, and a tremendous work. Therefore, lay aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. 1 Peter 2, verse 1. Now, breaking down the blanket statements made by the disgruntled ex-members of the mission who form the bulk of this Exodus film, even should you choose to accept their version of events without knowing any of the context or what those accused would say in response, it's clear that much of the reported abuse was done by people who no longer part of the mission or who were family members. This is one thing that is quite clear, that in many cases it wasn't the mission staff doing the abuse. It was family members on the mission base doing it, not even co-workers, but they're able to smear the entire mission with what happened there. But again, think of a crime that's happened in your community. Would you want to be responsible for what somebody else did in your community that you didn't even know about? It's not logical or rational. The virginity testing reported on, for example, was done by Zulu women to Zulu children as part of the KwaZulu community traditions and was not the policy of the mission. In fact, the mission forbade it in, I think, 2002 from continuing on their site. But this is something that is done throughout KwaZulu in many communities where they still practice it. And it was never mission policy. It was just something that was done on the premises by the people whose community had these traditions. Proverbs 25:8-10. Do not hastily go to court, for what will you do in the end when your neighbor has put you to shame? Debate your case with your neighbor and do not disclose the secret to another, lest he who hears it expose your shame and your reputation be ruined. Disloyalty or lack of discretion is such a disgrace. And when people share slander, gossip, prayer item, whatever they want to call it, in order to put another person in a bad light, the end result is to separate friends, undermine relationships, cause divisions, maybe church splits. Ultimately, it ends up with disgrace, and the people who took part in it will never be trusted. Someone who can speak behind someone else's back to you can speak behind your back to someone else. In the film, Professor Dion Foster of the University of Stellenbosch describes elements of a cult. Now, notice this carefully. A cult is where there's psychological abuse. Who would disagree with that? Deprived of food, sleep, and fulfillment of sexual desires. Wait a minute. Did they just put abstinence, holiness, moral standards in the same category as abuse? Yes, they did. Now, deprived of food. Now, it's one thing if you forcibly deprived of food, but what if you're choosing to fast? What if you're choosing to have give up your sleep for a night of prayer, which we've done. If it's voluntary, what's wrong with that? But to decide I'm going to be abstinent before marriage and faithful within marriage, how is that psychological abuse and cultic? That makes every true Christian a cult. He mentioned that belief in angels, demons, and spiritual powers is cultic and abusive. And telling people that they may be separated from God in eternity for something you do on earth and that God exacts retribution is abuse. So if you teach hell, day of judgment, well, that makes Dr. James Kennedy and Ray Comfort and everyone who preaches the gospel actually abusive and cultic by this man's definition. So these are very strange definitions of a cult, and I would venture to guess without knowing this professor that he cannot be an Orthodox Reformed Christian. However, when asked if he thought Quasimantum was a cult, he did not think it was, but said, if the allegations are true, and that's an if, then there are some troubling signs of some cultic tendencies and aspects of the mission. Now that's, although I obviously don't agree with this professor in general, that's a more balanced assessment. He's saying, well, if these allegations are true, then there's troubling signs of some cultic tendencies and aspects of the mission. So you might hear some bad things that happened in a country, company, community, congregation. That doesn't necessarily mean that the entire company, congregation, mission is to be tarnished with. That's not to excuse the abuse. It's just to say one should have a balance so that, for example, when you see some signs of, for example, Australian police doing some of the unbelievably violent, intolerant things they've been doing, especially in Melbourne and Victoria, you could be easily come to the conclusion Australia's a police state. In fact, it looks like a communist dictatorship. Now, that's not true of the whole country, but certainly there are parts of Australia where the local police are acting like that. That doesn't mean every police in all of Australia is responsible for that hideous abuse. Just like in America, there's doubtless some police who've behaved extremely badly. That doesn't make all police in America guilty or all police in the world, and so on. According to Webster's Dictionary, the 1828 dictionary, there are numerous meanings attributed to the word cult, including a religion or sect considered to be false, unorthodox, or extremist, with members often living outside of conventional society. Now, traditionally, we've got a whole lot of books, we've got a whole shelf just on cults here. Christians have identified as cults those of a false Christology, either denying the deity or the humanity of Christ, or false soteriology, denying salvation by the grace of God alone, based upon the atonement of Christ on the cross of Calvary received by faith alone. So you could take the five solas, you could take the Nicene Creed, you could take the Apostles' Creed, Athanasian Creed. These are definitions of orthodoxy. A cult is those who deviate from these standards, these markers, these gold standards, foundational truths of Christianity. Cults traditionally forbid their adherents from receiving teaching from any outside source. You will not get an invitation to come to a Mormon church to give teaching, unless you're Mormon. and Jehovah's Witness and Christian Science, and you could continue with through all the cults. It's unlikely for any imam of a mosque to invite a Christian to present the message at the next Friday mosque meeting, and so on. You can be pretty sure the Catholics aren't going to be inviting some Protestant to take the message in an average Catholic church and so on, too. So a cult traditionally does not allow outside teaching. But by all these standards and definitions, Kwasi's Ubuntu, under the leadership of Erlo Stegan, I can't speak for what's happening since he's been the leader, because it seems that he is too ill at the moment to take the lead. So I cannot speak for what might be happening in recent months, since Uncle Erlo has been ill and bedridden. But under his leadership, Kwasi's Ubuntu has emphatically not been a cult. Under the leadership of Reverend Erlo Stegan, KSB's Christology has been Orthodox, and their soteriology has been Orthodox. Kwasi's Ubuntu mission is Protestant and evangelical in the broadest sense of the term. Over the years, they've invited many famous, well-respected international Christian leaders to their pulpit and to their conference programs, like Reverend Ian Paisley, Mr. Protestant of Protestants from Northern Ireland, and Bishop Frank Retief, presiding bishop of the Church of England, and many others. He is an astronaut at one of the ministers' conferences, describing how his Christian faith impacted his scientific experience going into outer space and so on. I've certainly preached back to the Bible, Sola Scriptura, many times in the pulpit, and I've arranged for Justin Peters to go and give a two-day seminar on the call for discernment, where he specifically stood up and spoke on the fact that if you want to hear God speak, read the Bible. If you want to hear God speak audibly, get an audio Bible. You don't accept any of this. God said to me, I died, went to heaven, he came back, told me this, and it said none of that's valid. It's what the scripture says. That's God's word, Sola Scriptura. And he spoke out against visions, dreams, and all the other kind of ways where people come out with extra-biblical authority for 2 days, seminar. The radio program from Radio Kwezi have broadcast a wide range of respected Bible teachers, including John MacArthur, James Kennedy, James Dobson, many other well-respected names. And I've had many hundreds of opportunities to teach Reformation principles on Radio Kwezi without any restriction as to what I deal with. In fact, I must say I've never been told by KSB, you can't have this on your book table, you can't deal with this, and don't touch that, and don't say that. Never. I've never heard of any guest speaker who was restricted in what they had to say. There's never been any restriction on our Christian books that we brought in, made available to their people. We haven't been supervised and double-checked as to what we put on our tables. Their people have had access to not only thousands of our leaflets and hundreds of our books distributed, and Reformation study Bibles. We've donated hundreds of Reformation study Bibles. Excellent source, edited by R.C. Sproul, to all their co-workers, and this is just given to their teacher training college, for example. Some of the teachers and training getting Greater Sense of Missions books, Greater Sense of Reformation books. Kwasi's Ubuntu members hold to the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, the Athanasian Creed. Their base of faith, which you can see online, is in agreement with mainstream Protestant evangelical Christianity. Erlo Stegan has lived an exemplary, dedicated life. From early on, he is marked as someone very eager, dedicated, a person who, or as a child, was always good at the physical side, the sports, not interested in academics. But when he got converted, how he completely changed and transformed as part of his family, his outreaches. He preached for 11 years as an itinerant evangelist. His Zulu was so fluid. From age 16, he's been an itinerant evangelist. So he's, for over 60 years, been preaching the gospel. And he had hundreds of people, thousands actually, come forward and surrender their lives to Christ in his first 11 years. But he considered all a failure. He said, I didn't see changed lives. People went to church on Sunday and to the witch doctor on Monday, he said. And there was still drunkenness, and there was still abuse, and there was still polygamy. And so he was very dissatisfied. But the revival in 1966 changed that. And then they bought the farm in 1970, and this has been their base since then, Silver Stream Farm. Erlo Stegan lived in a hut most of the time, in a tent. He has denied himself most of his life so much of what normal comforts one would take. Some of his team, I know these people well, and Fana Sabisi, who wrote the foreword for our Slavery, Terrorism, and Islam book. I dedicated the Biblical Principles for Africa book to him. Fana Sabisi, one of our hard-working co-workers in KwaZulu. Reverend Erlis Deegan, when I was first invited to KSB to speak at a minister's conference, I was just 26 years old. And he and his wife gave their bedroom to me, and I was so humiliated that I would have been happy with a place on the floor to roll out my sleeping bag. I did not need a bed, let alone the bed of the of people more than double my age in order to stay in. And, but that's the kind of people who were. He was sleeping in one of the children's rooms in some bunk somewhere, and that's normal. They would regularly give up their room, give up their bed to guests, and that kind of humility, that kind of dedication. What Uncle Erla has sacrificed and done, this is not someone who is a cult leader. And you can see that by his love for animals. Anyone who loves animals obviously is on the right track. He's got his own game reserve there. This is Uncle Erla's personal game reserve. His family. Now, again, I've heard reports from dissidents from KSB who've been telling me and my children, Uncle Erla abused his children. He beat his children, all of his six girls. Well, I've been staying in that home for over the years, many, many times. My family, my children. In fact, my daughter Andrea and son Calvin could run into Uncle Erla's room and jump on his bed. They were so accepted part of the family. I have never seen the slightest hint that any of his daughters indicated fear, abuse, and you can tell when people have been abused. Here's the proof. They all still, all of his six daughters are on the mission, and they, with their husbands and their children, and they're all living in and around his home. Now, anyone who's abused his children, he'll find they've left. But the fact that they've all stayed and all walked, not just walking with the Lord, but involved in the mission, is a great testimony. And so those people, I've had people who otherwise I might trust, but they said, Uncle Erla was abusive to his children. Well, I know all of his children. I know them well. I've known them since they were schoolgirls and all the way through, and now that they're mothers and wives, and being able to sit around dinner table and talk to them, and late at night, talking past midnight there in the kitchen, I have never seen the slightest hint that any of his children ever experienced any kind of abuse. And in fact, it proves that that's a lie. Then you take Magogo, or the Tugela Valley Mission. They came here when it was nothing but thorn bushes. And the local chief pleaded with Uncle Erla to come, and this has been one of his major projects of the last 12 years. And this is all, in fact, Uncle Erla's taken me there a couple of times, and back in 2011, Andrea came with me. We flew in with him and saw where he's growing pineapples and bananas and every kind of thing where the people there said nothing but thorns could grow. You can see the love and appreciation of people. In fact, they've got a TV program just of people from Tugela Valley speaking about all that he's been up to. When you look at the teacher training college, and again, I know the teacher training college, been there many times, the enthusiasm, people come from all over the world there. Unfortunately, these days, the term cult is often loosely used to refer to any religious views that a person concerned doesn't like. That's a very subjective term. That kind of subjective standard makes the term more prejudicial and pejorative than objective. It's not helpful. You shall not go about as a talebearer among your people, nor shall you take a stand against the life of your neighbor. I'm the Lord. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin because of him. Our Lord said, if you hate your brother, then don't lie against the truth and say that you love God. How can you love God whom you haven't seen if you hate your brother whom you have seen? And no murderer has life in him, has eternal life in him, our Lord said. So to hate somebody is to actually be a murderer in your heart. And for people to spread lies, slander, exaggerations, whatever, to say things that could get them into trouble with a communist government who would love to steal their land and lock them up. How much must you hate people to do that? And I know several of the people involved in these slanders, and they hate Uncle Erla and the co-workers on the mission at KSB. it's a terrible thing to give in to hate. Those who want to have a better understanding of what's going on Quest of Intermission need to read Dr. Kurt Koch's landmark book, God Amongst the Zulus, which we recently republished, retypes it more. Now, Dr. Kurt Koch specializes in the occult and exposing false revivals. He went around the world and he exposed, for example, the Indonesian revival, Mel Taro, was it, Like a Mighty Wind, fraud, and he'd go around the world to expose false revivals. And so he came to KSB to do the same thing, because all the revivals he'd come up to then been fakes, frauds, exaggerations, and all that. And he was staggered to find this is the real thing. So much so that he and his wife moved there, and his grandchildren are living there, probably his great-grandchildren too. So God Amongst Zulus is a critical, skeptical German academic investigating and being astounded to find, wow, there are real miracles, real healings, genuine transformed lives, real deliverances from the occult, demon-possessed people convert. And we've got Kurt Koch's books here, like Occult ABC and Counseling People in the Occult and all the rest, and Satan versus Christ. So his book, God Among Zulus, is a skeptic's research on what really was going on in KSB, especially in the early years. One can view the films. When God Comes Down is easily available on the internet, and also Erlo, 60 Years, which his children put together to mark his 60 years in ministry several years ago. I think it was 2011 that came out. 6 years of ministry. And that's well worth seeing. In fact, I went through most of that just last night. One can also visit the Questubuntu.com website. And by the way, that's also an interesting story, because some dissidents against KSB years ago started this website to attack Questubuntu. And Questubuntu had never bothered to put up their own website. And they went to the it's based in Switzerland. It's an international group that looks after copyright, intellectual copyright. And they ordered these dissidents to hand over, as Questubuntu.com must be the intellectual property of Questubuntu. And so they've got something else tracking or refuting or exposing or whatever. But they can't have that. This forced KSB to set up the first website, the taxonym. So what man means for evil, God can use for good. As Reverend Erlo Stegan declared, whenever God is at work, the devil is also there to do his dirty counterwork. And I'm of the opinion that often the depth of God's work can be measured by the amount of opposition encountered. Just look at how much hatred there is poured out to this day against our Lord Jesus Christ, when he's on earth and to this day. Hollywood does not blaspheme the names of Kali or Krishna or Buddha or Karl Marx or any or Mao or any of these modern idols. It's not, they don't blaspheme Allah. It's not Zeus or Apollo. It's, why is it Jesus Christ targeted? The hatred for Christ is not logical. And the hatred for those who follow him isn't. Well, we've organized events down Cape Town, none more spectacularly than back in 2016 when we invited the Euro Choir to Cape Town and had them sing at the waterfront and in the amphitheater there, and see these young people at work and ministering around Cape Town and different outreaches. And to see these young people, it's impossible for me to believe that these are victims of abuse or that come from a cult. When you can see the enthusiasm, the clean lives, the lives freed from the addictions and drugs and other things that ruin so many other young people. I remember one of our people saying when we went to the airport, how will we be able to recognize them? So it won't be difficult. They'll stand out. And at Franschhoek, on Reformation Day, 31 October 2016, we had an unforgettable experience of having Euro Choir leading us. And these are young people from all over Europe. And being able to lead us in worship. And again, we know many of these people have been in many of their homes and many of their congregations. And to be in a church where the revival broke out in 1860 as well, in Franschhoek, beautiful wooden panel church, and to have a concert on the 31st of October as well in the afternoon. So we've seen KSB up front. We've had their people here. We've seen the people around. And it's impossible that a ministry that encompasses so many bases and so many decades and so many thousands of young people, that there would not be failures and there would not be some traitors and spies and infiltrate, and B, some cases where abuse could have happened, considering it hundreds of co-workers. It's not impossible. We've had some bad co-workers here too. And so a ministry needs to be judged on its total, on the big picture, not just on what a couple of dissidents say.